Okay, today I titled the sermon The Grace Effect, but it could go multiple ways. I'll try to keep the script, you know, so that, you know, we are keeping to time. So we start. You know the game, two truths and one lie? Yeah, okay. Oh, somebody said no. Okay, so the game goes like that. I give you three statements about myself. Two are truths and one is a lie. And then you have to detect, you know, which one is a lie. Okay, but anyhow, today I give you all truths, no lie. All right, all truths, no lie. And the truths will cover this. We'll cover grace is God's nature. Grace is God's power in us and God's people respond to His grace. An alert before I start, okay? Today's sermon is pear-shaped. That means light at the top and then heavy at the bottom, but still a very good shape. So from cover to cover, the Bible tells the story of a God who meets human rebellion with His grace to save them from their sins and eternal separation from Him. There are several accounts of people whose lives have been transformed by God's grace. And today in our readings, we come across three recipients of God's grace who happen to be all men. We have Isaiah, the prophet. We have Apostle Paul and Simon Peter, the disciple. And of course, we know women are among those who have received God's grace and their lives have taken a different direction, and they also served God in various positions. So in Isaiah chapter 6, it describes the commission of Isaiah. Now, in this remarkable vision given to Isaiah, it illustrates God extending grace to forgive undeserving sinners and then calling them to participate in His divine meta-narrative. I love the word meta, because meta just means biggest, right? Biggest, biggest. Okay, it's bigger than whatever you currently think is the big narrative in your life. It's bigger. And what is that narrative? That God is reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's trespasses against them, and God has entrusted to us this message of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 19. That is the meta narrative. So we come to grace is God's nature. In the vision, Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, the angelic seraphim shout God's glory in voices that shook the temple. Faced with that awesome sight, Isaiah became aware of his unworthiness. Woe to me! I'm undone, he cried. He was not even worthy to utter praises of the holy God. That's how unworthy. And he knew that his sinfulness deserved death. Instead, one of the seraphim took the live coal from the altar and then came to him, touched his lips and pronounced, "Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then Isaiah hears the voice of God saying, "Whom shall I send?" Isaiah, now cleansed, he eagerly volunteered, "Send me." Chosen, cleansed, called. This is not just Isaiah's story, do you see? This is your story, my story, and all would-be believers' story. Because while we were still sinners, God gave His Son to atone for our sins. Christ died for the ungodly while they were still His enemies. We are not deserving of such kindness, but grace is God's nature. Grace inclines God to show unmerited favor and love towards humans. It's such good news, people, that the God, this God of the whole creation, His nature is grace. That's good news number one. Now we go on. The next piece of good news for us this morning is that grace is not only God's nature, it is also God's power living in you. See, God is powering us by grace to produce a practical outcome. Paul says in today's reading, by the grace of God, I am what I am, transformed. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet, not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Can you see the practical outcome of grace? Can you? There's transformation in Paul, in a person. There's obedience in action. And then there's capacity for good work. It's practical. And again, in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it tells us, this is so wonderful, okay? 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Every. So good. So you will find that God's grace is sufficient. You will find his power made perfect in the areas that you find weak at, because grace is Christ's power resting on you as you face the realities of life. So that's the light bit. I sum them up. God's grace of pardon comes with power. God's grace is both his unmerited favor upon us and an extension of that into practical help. So now we come to the grace effect. What are people's responses to God's grace? Now, Isaiah, that same passage, chapter 6, verse 9 tells us, some people are ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. Their hearts are calloused and hardened towards God and his message, like the people of Judah. But you notice God still sends Isaiah to the nation of Judah. Then there are those who respond like Isaiah, Paul, and Simon Peter. They see the Lord and they embrace him as Savior, and they respond to his call to spread the gospel. Send me. For sinners to see the Lord as Savior and to embrace that idea and to understand the heinous nature of their sin is in itself the work and grace of God, the Holy Spirit. Because as sinners, Ephesians tells us, we were dead in our trespasses. Dead means dead. You are therefore unable to believe God. So what happens? The Holy Spirit brings people to faith. John chapter 16, verse 8 to 11 tells us he convicts unbelievers and causes them to see the truth of the gospel in clear light. By the Spirit, individuals are convicted of sin, they're drawn to Christ, and given new life. Without the agency of the Holy Spirit, friends, whatever Christ has done on the cross is lost on the sinner. They can't understand it. No Holy Spirit, no faith, no new life. So I have a cartoon version of this, okay? Cartoon version. This is Dara's cartoon version. Picture it with me, okay? It's extracted from the Bible. This is Dara's cartoon version. Okay, picture this, okay? Everyone, the cartoon version, everyone's dead, okay? Dead. The triune God hovers over the dead, and in his wisdom, his all-wise, in his wisdom, he selects you. And your lifeless body is among the chosen, and with that, the Holy Spirit wakes your spirit, illuminates your mind, and gives life to your body. Faith in God is born in your heart. The good news of Christ now makes sense to you. The Holy Spirit now lives in you. You look around the lifeless other bodies, and God says to you, now go tell them what I've done for you. And you do. God's grace gave you new life. God's grace will also help you fulfill your calling to spread the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. The call is for every believer, and collectively, the people form the church. We are charged to continue Christ's ministry in the world. We are not saved to do as we pleased. We are either enslaved to sin or a bondservant of Christ. There is no in-between. If you find an in-between in the Bible, please let me know. God's grace has an effect on God's people. His sheep hears his voice and they follow. God is missional. Christ is missional. God's people are missional. We bring the good news of Christ to all people. You are saved by grace, powered by grace. Now you walk the earth representing Christ. You represent the kingdom of heaven. It is an unseen reality. I end with this. The church has good news. It's the good news that the world needs. Christ, the living hope. Christ, the life. Christ, the truth. Can the people of God keep the gospel of Christ to themselves when it can bring salvation to others? Can the people of God not proclaim his excellencies when they have experienced his grace and were handpicked for the role? If we remain silent or passive about the gospel, what does that say to you about your heart's condition? Tell people that God is reconciling his creation to himself in Christ, not counting people's trespasses against them. God entrusted this message to his people. This year, just started, let God's grace move us into action. So, this is the word of God with cartoon version. So we go away from here, you take it with you, you ask the Lord, help me, send me. Amen.